This is the Beastcape Podcast. We'll be discussing the shape of water, which is all about the shape of the water.
All right. Welcome back to the Beastcape Podcast. This is a review for The Shape of Water. It's directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Yes, Guillermo.
The writers are Guillermo del Toro and Vanessa Taylor. And it stars Sally Hawkins, Doug Jones, and Michael Shannon. And the synopsis is, at a top research facility in the 1950s, a lonely janitor forms a unique relationship with an amphibious creature that is being held in captivity. And Keith, what did you think of The Shape of Water?
I think, if anything, and you've heard this before on our podcast about the importance of storytelling, Guillermo del Toro tells an excellent story. Basically a fairy tale told, however, in a very realistic setting. There's, of course, a fantastical element to it in the terms of the creature itself. The setting is very much real world. The character Sally Hawkins plays, Eliza, is a mute. She can't speak, and she kind of feels disconnected from the world. And she's got only a couple of friends, Richard Jenkins, who's an artist, as well as a friend, Tavis Mensah. So she's got these two very close friends, and she kind of goes through her daily rituals of her life. Now, I say it's a fairy tale, but it's not for kids. Definitely an adult film. Eliza's daily life and stuff, which involves several repeated scenes of a thing that she does. But I thought it was an excellent film. It was very good. It kind of went back and forth in a couple ways. It lost me in a couple of areas where the pacing kind of slowed down, but I kind of saw what he was trying to do with the storytelling itself. The creature effects were excellent. Doug Jones was the actor in the creature suit. He was excellent. He's usually in most of Guillermo's movies. Excellent film, beginning to finish. The middle dragged on just a bit, but playing up the romance angle, I enjoyed the film.
Well, Keith, I have to agree with everything you just said. Guillermo del Toro is a very visual artist. He's auteur. This movie does not exist without him. And yes, there's a lot of creative decisions that go into play with this that the main characters don't speak. And so you have Sally Hawkins, who plays Eliza, and then Doug Jones, who plays the amphibian man. To have the bulk of the movie and the dialogue being spoken by two characters that aren't the leads makes this movie special. But all they're doing is using music and sign language to communicate. And that is a very intelligent choice, because there's a lot of ways that this movie could have went wrong. And
a lot of ways.
This movie is The Creature from the Black Lagoon, Beauty and the Beast, Princess and the Frog. And when I think about this movie, it kind of reminds me of things like Big Fish and like Benjamin Button, because those are kind of special movies that they're fantastical. It just doesn't exist without the people behind it, the creative decisions behind it. Idea that this is just kind of a retro movie, again, Creature from the Black Lagoon. It's a lot of things wrapped up in one. It's social problems. It's a love story. It's kind of like a government conspiracy story. And there's all these elements going on, but it all makes it a good film.
It's all seamless. And I found that, and Barry, I think you're going to agree with me, they didn't focus on the kind of supernatural, magical elements of it. It was so grounded in like a base reality.
Yeah, that it was normal.
You could actually imagine something like this, like some urban folklore tale like, about these
this
two
is
characters.
The equivalent to the Roswell spaceship crash.
You're absolutely right. It could have gone so many ways, but at the same time, I don't think del Toro could have messed this up. I mean, this is like right up his element, clearly his element.
Yeah, I don't think this is his best film. It is up there. I would probably put Pan's Labyrinth, maybe Blade 2, and Pacific Rim as those upper echelon movies, but this one's not that far behind.
I would put Pan's Labyrinth above it and this above Pacific Rim and Blade 2 from a kind of like a filmmaking perspective. The way Michael Shannon's character is kind of not just he's introduced, but each one of those characters represents a specific archetype of what we see of that time.
Yeah.
You got Michael Shannon's character who has the nuclear family, wife, two kids, having a new house, getting a brand new car, and he's just an outright scumbag.
Yeah. And if I had to say something negative about this movie, I would say that Octavia Spencer and Michael Shannon get typecasted a lot in the roles that they play in this movie.
I was about to say that, because Michael Shannon, like he always plays an asshole.
He can play them well, and I think he's more or less face. Like he kind of, I think he always plays well.
Zod, asshole.
I would like to see him play a hero. And Octavia, I think you can tell in this, she had enough material again to just kind of to shine.
It's the direction. It's Guillermo del Toro elevating her beyond that. I mean, again, she's typecasted in this role because she does that in a lot of movies. But because of his direction, it allows her to do a better performance.
What would you think of Eliza?
This movie does not exist without her.
Phenomenal. I mean, I was complaining in the theater. They could have done with a prettier actress, but then I backtrack. I was like, nah, she's perfect for that.
She's a little frumpy. Again, she doesn't speak. She's mute. And all that comes into play because she loves music. She likes television. And all that comes into play with her relationship with the amphibian man, Doug Jones's character. So, Keith, what score would you give Shape of Water?
I give it a solid 8.5 because I went into the theater kind of blah, but I was only there for because it was Guillermo del Toro. And again, it's not as good as Pan's Labyrinth, which I give a 9. This was like just behind it. I thought it was a great film. And the fact that they touched on a ton of the social elements that went on in that era, all the negatives, even the positives of that era, and it didn't detract from the story. And he told just a magnificent story. That was a good story to tell. And I thought it was well done, well told. And it's great that Guillermo is getting a lot of chops and he's allowed by studios to branch out and do his own thing. Really hope that this will kind of propel him up. They'll just give him more money and more opportunity to tell the stories he wants to tell. So I get an 8.5.
All right. So I'm going to give this movie an 8. Again, this movie does not exist without Guillermo del Toro's vision. Just looking back at the other movies that he's done, Hellboy and other things like that, he can create a world and that you can be engrossed in that world. That's why it works. And he doesn't have to always do something wacky and weird. But if you take a look at Pacific Rim and this movie, they're two totally different movies.
Mm-hmm.
It is very fantastical. It's very engrossing to be a part of that world. And again, shout out Sally Hawkins. Sally Hawkins is great in this. She and Doug Jones don't utter a word. And everything they speak is either through body language or music or tap dancing. It's amazing. So again, movies like this kind of remind me of Big Fish or Curious Case of Benjamin Button. 8.5 from Keith, and that's the Beast King Podcast.